I'm Chris Murigliani with Beats One News and Culture, here with Lin-Manuel Miranda, who has arguably the biggest show on Broadway in the last decade, two decades, history of Broadway. Hamilton, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For people who aren't familiar with Hamilton, tell us about what is Hamilton? What is the show?
Hamilton is a big, fat, stinking hip-hop musical. I fell in love with the subject at random. I picked up a book at a bookstore, a biography of Hamilton. And at the end of the second chapter, I got to the part where young Alexander Hamilton, who at this point, all I knew about him was he was the dude on the 10 and he died in a duel. First of all, I didn't know he grew up in the Caribbean. And second of all, there was a hurricane that destroyed St. Croix and he wrote a poem about the devastation. And business people on the island took up a collection to send him to the colonies to get his education. And I said, that's the most hip hop thing I've ever heard. He wrote a verse about his circumstances and wrote his way out of his circumstances, which to me is the best of hip hop. And it allowed me to write about all the things I love to write about. It's an immigrant story. It's a love letter to New York. It's a love letter to hip hop. And it's also about politics, which I grew up in. My dad grew up in Bronx, working in Bronx and upper Manhattan politics in Washington Heights. So I know that world too. So it kind of encompassed all the things I was interested in writing about in one big story.
You have both Broadway and hip hop just like baked into your DNA, I guess, musical genres that were with you as a child, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, in the Venn diagram, those circles don't meet much, but I've always been someone who's been attracted to lyrics that tell stories, whether it's Biggie's Warning or a musical by Stephen Sondheim or Puns, Twins, Deep Cover 98, you know, dead in the middle of Little Italy, little that we know, we riddled to middlemen who didn't do diddly. I'm always interested in lyrics that tell stories. And so to me, they have a lot in common. And I'm always trying to thread the needle in making the theater fan bop his head and making the hip hop fan like not cross his arms at the fact that he's at a play.
Yeah. Has that, like, growing up, were there times in your life where people were like, what is up with this kid who like likes hip hop, but also likes show tunes?
But you know what I think, though? I think the success of the show proves that we're actually a silent majority. I think our generation grew up with a lot of different musical influences.
Do you think that a musical like this could have ever happened, say, 10 years ago? Or do you think as like a society, hip hop had to be sort of like cemented in it as a musical genre the way it is now?
I think it's amazing we don't have 5 hip hop musicals on Broadway already. You know, and it's interesting, you know, Broadway's a little slower to change and shows take a long time to write. I started writing this show in 2008. So there's just the development process of shows, which is its own challenge. The other thing is hip hop's 40 years old. The hip hop reference that gets the biggest laugh in our show is from The Message, Grandmaster Flash. That's a 35-year-old song. And everyone in the house, even the old white theater goers, get that reference. So I think it's interesting that more songwriters who write for theater haven't picked up and really sort of come at it in an authentic way and said, this is another valid storytelling form.
Both the critical response and the audience response to Hamilton has been crazy. Like, just
crazy.
Just over the crazy. How do you process that? Do you have to, like, you're like keeping an ego in check, like how it's, because it's so positive.
Yeah. And you know what keeps you humble is actually doing the show. It's the best thing I could have done is to be in it, because it's not like shooting a movie where, you know, they need me to cry once, they get it, and then it lives forever. We're more like chefs when we work in the theater. We got the Times review that said mortgage your house, but the people who show up that day don't get the show that Ben Brantley saw,
right?
They get whatever we've got that night. And so the humility comes from, it's a hard show of nonstop music for 2 hours and 45 minutes. And if you space out and if you start feeling yourself for like a second, you'll get hit with a chair. You'll get hit with another dancer. We'll kick you in the face because there's no time to do anything but focus on giving these people, as chefs, making the same meal for a new audience every night.
So we talked about this before we started, and so in full disclosure, I haven't been able to get in to see the show, and as a result, I deliberately haven't listened to the soundtrack because I wanted to go in and have the experience for the first time completely fresh. But, you know, I'm in New York and I can't get here, but we're in 100 and plus countries.
Yeah.
What is your, I guess, advice to people so that, you know, they can listen to the soundtrack right now? Should they go listen to it right now, or should they wait to see the show?
Well, I did something really interesting with this, which is I psyched myself out the first 3 years of writing. I just pretended I was writing a concept album. I didn't worry about how it was going to be staged. I just thought, I want to write this man's story, and I don't want to sacrifice any of the lyrical density that my hip hop heroes employ when they write their songs. I wanted it to feel like Reasonable Doubt. I wanted it to feel like Ready to Die, that I'm still catching new double entendres. And I've been listening to that thing for 20 years. I try not to listen to scores before I walk in the theater either. That wasn't always true. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have money for Broadway. You know, I listened to a lot of cast albums without ever having seen them. No production of Camelot can match the production of Camelot I have in my head, because my mother used to blast it in our Subaru. I've still never seen a production of it. So I would say with this one, because it's entirely sung through, you're all right to listen. You're going to see things in the physical production that aren't even hinted at in the score. And I also think that this score bears repeated listening. It's packed with double and triple entendres and wordplay, and there's a lot to take in. You won't get it all when you watch it, so you may as well listen in.